We begin the current daf, Masechet Baba Basa, daf Kuf Samaches. We begin 8 lines daf at the top of the Yamut, where the Gemara continues explaining the Mishnah of the previous daf, and that as the Mishnah had described certain cases regarding when you could write the document for one of the two parties, even though the other one's not there. And from those cases, one of them was that the husband could write the get even though the wife's not there, and the wife could write the receipt for the husband even though he's not there. And on that, the Mishnah said, V'habal nisin schar b'chulu. In regard to these two cases, the husband has to pay for the writing of the documentation, which the Rashbam explained the reason why he has to pay for the receipt is because it's for his benefits, that the wife will not be able to collect a second time. But on that, the Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason why he has to pay for the expense of writing the get? Why is that more of his responsibility than hers? Says the Gemara, Dama Kra, because the Pasuk says in the Varm, it says, V'chasav, and then later on that same Pasuk, it says, V'nasa, which the Pasuk there is talking about, that he should write for her a sefer krisis, a get, and v'nasa miyada, and then he puts it in her hand, which teaches us that the one who gives it is the one who writes it, and that's why the expenses and the obligation of the payment of the writing is incumbent upon the husband who gives the get. Now, however, the Gemara comments that v'idna d'lo yavdin hachi, however, now that we don't do that, rather, actually, the custom is that the wife pays for the expense of the writing of the get, shadura bana ishas, because the rabbis went and then imposed that obligation on the woman. The reason for that is actually for her benefit, so that the husband should not delay the writing of the get because of the expense. He doesn't want to pay for that, and then she's going to be an aguna, she's going to be without any options of remarrying because he's not going to pay for the get, and therefore, to preclude that, they, although the biblical obligation is on the husband, they went and put that onto the wife for her own benefit. Now the Mishnah said another halacha, kaisen shtar l'leiva. We're also allowed to write a document for the borrower, afa pisha in malva ima, even though the lender is not with him. But if for the lender, the borrower has to be there, obviously, because the borrower could write because it's something for his obligation. The lender doesn't have to be there, it's for his benefit. Whereas, of course, you can't write for the lender if the borrower's not there because it says that he lent him money where maybe he didn't. Now, more of a chula, etc., this halacha also says that the loiva has to pay for it. The borrower has to pay for the expense. So the Gemara has pshita. Obviously, the borrower has to pay for the expense because similar to the concept, we said that if someone is the one that's getting the benefit, he's going to be the one. Regarding the husband, we asked, why is he getting any more benefit than the wife? So that's a biblical source. But here the borrower, the lender, is just giving, is not getting any interest, just lending money. Of course, the borrower who's getting all the benefit would have to pay for the expense of the documentation. And that answers the Gemara. Loi tzricha, the chiddush of the Mishnah would be talking about a case of be'iska, which is not a total loan. It's like half loan, half deposit, where actually the one who has the money gives it to someone else and says, okay, you use the money and we'll split the profits. So since there is benefit for both, maybe it wouldn't be a total obligation only on the borrower. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that since he's the primary beneficiary over here because he's the one that's borrowing the money, although that the lender is getting something back, he has to pay for the expense of the documentation. So to the Mishnah continued, it says, Kaisman shtar l'moicher. You can write a document for a seller that he sold it to someone else. Afa pishe in lekech b'chulu, even if the consumer's not there, because it's only a benefit for the consumer. The loss could only be for the seller, and therefore you could write it for him even if he's not there, in contrast the other way. Now, etc., that the Mishnah said, and lekech, the consumer has to pay for the documentation. Whereas here also, pshit, it's obvious. Who's the one that's getting the total gain? It's the consumer. He's the one that's buying something. He's getting the object. He has to pay for the document. Says the Gemara, lo yitzrich, it's necessary in the case b'meicher sadeh b'mnei ra'asa. If someone's selling his field because of something that's flawed with it, either there's something very wrong with it or it's actually very far from him, and therefore you would think that in such a case where he just wants to get off his hands, that he should have to pay for the documentation because he's the one benefiting. Actually, as the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, Hakoina al Yismach, the one who's buying shouldn't be as happy, v'amoich al Yisabla, and neither should the seller be so sad. He's getting this off his hands, and therefore he's benefiting and he should have to pay for the documentation. That's the Chiddush of our Mishnah, as the Gemara says above Metziah Daf Nun Aleph and Aleph, that no. Whatever you buy, you're gaining, because you're getting something more. When you sell, you're losing because you're getting money, but you can end up spending on something else. To have possessions is the one that's better off, and therefore the consumer is the one who's gaining, and therefore he has to pay for the documentation. The Mishnah continued and said, "Ein kais vin shtari erisin v'chulu." We don't write documentation of engagement or marriage that unless both parties are there. And then that halacha v'chulu ended off by saying that the chassan, he has to pay. Which is also pshit, it's pretty obvious, as we explained in our explanation of the Mishnah, where the chassan is like the lekeach, he's buying in some way he's kind of the isha. So as we said, that the consumer is the one that gains, he has to pay. That says Gemara Loi Tzrich. It's necessary that Afilah Tuvim Rabbanim. We're talking about even if the Chas and the Groom is a Talmudic scholar. Well, then we would have thought to say that actually his father-in-law should pay for everything because he's marrying his daughter off to a Talmud Chacham. The Nichle Lechamula Kareva that his father-in-law is pleased that he's marrying off his child to a Talmudic scholar, and if he would think he's the one that's gaining, Kamash Malon that no, that the Chas and he's the Lekech, he's the one that has to pay for the documentation of the Shtari Erison and the Shtari Nisun. The Mishnah then said, "In Kaisvin Shtar Erusis VeKablonis V'Chulu." We don't write the documentation for the Arisus and the Kablonis, unless if we have what's called Midash name, unless we have the acceptance and the awareness of both of them. And then we ended up for Chulu, etc. That halacha, that the Aris, the shearcropper, the one that's working the field, he's the one that pays. Which the Gemara says, it's also obvious. He's the primary gainer. He's using someone else's field. Yeah, he's giving the guy back some payment for that, but he's the primary one that's the beneficiary. Of course, he goes and pays for the documentation. That says Gemara Loi Tzrich, and now here the chiddush is bevura. We're talking about where he can't even use it the first year or two because he has to leave it fallow so that it can rejuvenate, so that he could end up using it. And since he's not really gaining anything right now, and therefore maybe then he would not have to be the one that has to pay for it. That's the chiddush said no, even though right now he can't use it, but again he's the primary beneficiary, and therefore he has to write and pay for the documentation. Then the Mishnah continues and says, "In case in shtari beru in elam dashnei mechulu." Another halacha that has to be with the awareness of both them. You cannot write a shtari, a documentation of beruin, unless you have both of their consent, mechulu, etc. So the Gemara asks, "My shtari beruin? What is the shtari beruin?" So now the Gemara says, "Hacha targimu here in Babel they translate it means shtari tanasa. It's the documents that you have that the scribes of they write." The scribes of the judges, which actually this interpretation says that Beruin is from the term of Bara, of clarity. They write down the claims of the different disputants. And the reason why they record it is so that they should not be able to go ahead and claim a different claim. And it should be on record what it is that they had said. And it's based on those claims that the judges go ahead and paskin their halacha. Those shtari Beruin of clarifications are these documentations, then you need to have the awareness and acceptance of both of them regarding what it is that they're claiming. Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Abba, he says, no, actually refers to something else. Zeh baru le'echad, this picks one out, which, in other words, he picks out one judge, and here the term is actually from a term of bairer, or baru, of selecting, which this halacha is known as zabla, which stands for zeh baru le'echad, v'zeh baru le'echad, and this one chooses out one, and they write this in the document, that this guy chose this judge, and this guy chose this judge, and then the third one they'll agree on. Those choices are written in the shtar. These are the shtar beruin that you need to have the awareness of both of them to say that we agree, we all know what, either like the first interpretation, what they're claiming, or the judges that they're choosing to be the bezdin that they're going to be willing to go to. Now, on that halacha, the Mishnah quoted Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, he said, in dispute of the Tanakama, who said, okay, so you need both as awareness, but then you write one document that records either both their claims or both of the judges that they're choosing. He said, no, l'shneim k'esun shneim. For the two of them, you write two different documents. L'zeba atzmai u'l'zeba atzmai, each one gets his own document. On that, as the Gemara, l'me b'k'eifin amid the sedem k'mifkli. Is this to say, what is their machlek is about? Regarding, do we force someone to go against the mid, the attribute of the people of the biblical Sodom. Whereas the Mishnah teaches Mesechtas Avos in the fifth parak, if someone says, what is mine, what's yours is yours, let's, you know, I don't want to get my stuff mixed up with yours. Either the Mishnah there says that it's a mid bainus, it's somewhere in the middle, because he's not kind to the person, but yet neither is he wicked to the person. He's not taking his, but neither is he giving his own. And some say, no, that's mid sedaim, where they don't want to give tzedakah charity. You know, you do your own, I do my own thing, we're separated. So that says the Gemara, maybe that is what they're disagreeing about. Let's say, Demar, that the Tanakama Saba that he held, that both of them, he said, you need both of their awareness, and they both pay for the documentation. And the Tanakhama said, so for the two of them, we write one document. And if that the Tanakhama is addressing, and that is, even if one of them would say, no, I don't want to pay, because I want to have my own document, and you could have your own document, so that should be shali shali v'shalach shalach, and that the Tanakhama holds, no, kaifin, we force him and we make one, because this, what he's saying, is a midav sedaim. Why don't you want to share with someone else? What's the difference? Why do you want to have your own thing? That's a sedaim thing, that we force a person to go against that negative attribute. Umar, whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Saba, he held on that enclave, and we don't force. And therefore he said, yeah, people are going to want to have their own thing, and therefore we like two, one for him and one for him. Says the Gemara, no, the Kulam HaKreif, and everyone agrees that we force, we subdue people to go against the negative characteristic of the Sodomites. V'hach, however, here, Hainu Tamid Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the reason Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is because he holds that this is not a midas of Sadaim. Because here, one of the parties will be losing a lot if they write only one documentation for the two of them. Why? Because the Amalei, he's going to tell them, I don't want that your claims and your whatever it is that you said in court should be next to my claims that I made in court on one document, because the dumbest alike, you appear to me as a pouncing lion. And that is because every time you're going to look at the documentation, if we're going to have to share the same paper, and you're going to go ahead and you're always thinking and plotting and scheming to try to trick and do whatever you could to come out against me in court, you're going to at the same time see my claims. And then we're going to come to dispute because you're a very quarrelsome type of a person. And you're going to say, wait a second, I saw he said this. You know what I could do now? If I say this, and et cetera, et cetera, and therefore to avoid that, he says, no, it's not a midah of sedaim. It's not because I don't want anything to do with you, it's because it's going to cause me a loss. That's not a midah of sedaim. And that's what Shimon Gamliel held, that you could write a separate documentation for each of one of those two parties. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of this parak of Get Pashut, regarding documentation, regarding documents. The Mishnah says as follows, Misha par miktas chayv. If someone paid up part of the debt, let's say there was a loan of $1,000, he paid up already $500 of it. The hishlish eshtari, so what he did was is that he gave his document to a third party, meaning the lender and the borrower both agreed, let's give it to this third party because it was too difficult for them to have to write a receipt. Because if there's no receipt, then the lender still has a document that he owes him $1,000, where he only owes him $500. So to avoid that, they relied on the third party, said, look, you, Levi, we both agree that he already paid up $500, he only owes $500, now here you hold on to it so that we don't do anything inappropriate. Now, Vamaloi, moreover, however, that the debtor said to him, if I don't go ahead and pay up to you the rest, the remainder of the debt until that date, ten leishtari, so he says, give him back, give the lender, whoever the creditor is, give him back his documentation. Because I know I'll pay up by that time. And if not, you could collect the whole thing from me. Says the Mishnah, Giyas Mamalei Nasan, what happens if the date comes and he didn't give the rest of the debt? Rabbi Yisrael Meyitin says, so he has to give him back the document. Now the lender or whoever he is could collect the whole thing. Rabbi Yisrael Meyitin says, no, you don't give it to him because then he'll collect $1,000. You still hold on to it because he only owes him $500. Says the Gemara, but my Kamefke, what is their disagreement about? Rabbi Yisrael Savi, he holds Asmachta. Asmachta is from the term of smach, of reliance, meaning if someone guarantees someone something to his friend on the condition that he's going to do something. And he's confident, he knows he's going to be able to fulfill the condition when the time is going to come. And therefore he says, you know what, and if I don't, here you can have who knows whatever this is. Because he knows he's going to. So he'll make even a huge exaggerated claim that he'll fulfill. But what actually ends up happening, and the time reaches and something beyond his control happens and he can't fulfill it. Says Rabbi Yisi, if someone made such a promise, kanya, it's a kinyan, it's acquisition, that's what you promised. So then therefore, in this case, where you thought you're going to pay it up by then, you didn't. You lost that $500. It goes right back to the lender because that was what you had promised. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Asmachta LeKanyan. No, he holds that such a claim does not create a kinyan, and therefore he does not become obligated in his stipulation, and he's not going to lose. And he doesn't have. Therefore, the document does not go back, so he does not have to pay the extra $500. And the details of the halos of Asmachta we already explained in Bab Mitzia and Daf Samach Vav Beis. And Perek Makabel over there on their Kuf Dalam base. So Amar Rav Nachman the Merav Baravu Merav, he says Halacha Kribiisi Halacha Falz Kribiisi, as we said that Asmachta is Kanya. Now Kiasli Kamed Rabami, so too when they would used to come in front of Rabami with laws of Asmachta, where someone made an exaggerated promise and he actually didn't end up fulfilling, and so now you got to pay up. Amalu, he would tell them. Once Rabbi Yochanan taught us this halacha, once and twice, this idea, in other words, he taught us this idea many times, halacha Rabbi Yosi, so ani ma'aseh, so what do you want me to do? What can I do? How could I say loy kanya? And therefore the Gemara paskins, however, halacha Rabbi Yosi. Halacha is not Rabbi Yosi. And even though generally we pass in the Rabbi Yossi because what's called Nimukei Imoi, he has his reasons with him, the halacha of the Gemara paskins is asmachta loy kanya, it does not create a kinyan, unless, as the Gemara says in the Dorm Chav Zayin and Beis, if they went and made a kinyan in the court that was chashiv without any einsim, in such a situation, then asmachta would be kanya. But in general, we say asmachta is loy kanya, and therefore, regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, we would say loyitin, you would not give it back to the lender, even though he said you could, because that was just an exaggerated claim of a stipulation, but really, asmachta is not a kanya. Gemara continues with the next Mishnah on this theme of shtaris. Misha nimchik shtar chayve. If someone had that his document got erased by itself, either got smudged or some water fell in it, whatever it is, but the letters got deleted. So the halacha is as follows. Maimir lav edim, what the holder of the document does, he produces witnesses who know what was written on it. And they know from when it was written. Because they had seen, he showed him this documentation, said, oh yeah, I see, I lent this guy money, this, and they saw the document. And two people had witnessed it. So he brings these witnesses, ubalef nebez, and they come in front of the court, v'oysen lekim, and the witnesses make a verification of the document in front of the court, and they write now a new document, what was written on that document, and the date, and how much the money was owed. And they write as follows. Ish plenya ben plenya, this person, the son of that person, nimchak shtari. He had a document which got erased, which was written on it, that b'yoyim plenya on that day, and as Rashbam explains that, this is being written by those who are verifying, and then they sign their name at the end. So they're writing that we know that it said this on the document, that on that day was when this loan had happened, or whatever it was, as we continue to tell Medbeis, Uplainu, Uplainu, Edov, and these are the witnesses that had signed on it, meaning witnesses are signing at the bottom. We know what it said on the document. And on the document, it had that date, that amount of money, and these were the witnesses that were on that document, and we're signing now that we know that's what that document was. Now, the Gemara brings a brisa that elaborates on these halachas. Turn up on one of the brisa. So what exactly does it say on the verification of this previous document in this new document that they're writing? So it says, "B'meisiv talas avina." We were in the presence of three. We were in the presence of three, meaning regarding the judges. Anu pleini, pleini, pleini. All three of us. So we're the court. Haitzi pleini ben pleini shtar machag lefanein. So this individual came and showed us he had a document here which got erased, and on it said, and that was verified by two witnesses, that b'yoyim pleini, on that day, u'pleini pleini edov, and those two people were the witnesses on that previous document, who were signed in it. Now the Gemara explains, vim kasubay, and if additionally it said on this shtarkium, that whose kaknule edustin shal edim, that the judges wrote, that we actually went and we verified the witnesses, meaning the court says that we analyzed the original witnesses that were signed on the original document, that they testified regarding their own testimony. We found out that it was truthful, that this was exactly those earlier witnesses that were signed on the previous document. Says the Gemara, then the holder of the document will be able to collect from that first date that was written on that first primary document. And he doesn't have to bring any other proof regarding the collection of that document. Because we actually went and we, not only did we verify that he had this document, but we even went and verified that document itself by verifying those original witnesses. But says the Gemara v'mlav, but if they didn't, if they only had these two witnesses who saw the document, so good, you know he had such a document, but you don't know if that document itself was forged or not. And that's why we always have to be mekayim any document, which is called kiyum shtaris. So if they didn't verify those original witnesses, yes, you could write a new document because these two witnesses know that he had such a document, but tzarech lehevi raya, then you would have to bring a different proof regarding the date, and regarding the amount of money, and regarding what was written in the document because we don't know that he had that first document, we don't know if that first document was truthful or not, and therefore he would have to bring proof regarding that. Continues the brisa, nikra, if it was writ by a person, then possible, then the document is possible. Invalid. Niskareya, however, if it tore by itself, then kasha, then it's valid. Nimchak oinitashtish, if it got erased or got smudged like the halacha of our Mishnah. So here the Braisa says a different concept. In the Mishnah we were discussing regarding, okay, so it's totally erased, so it's got to write over a new one. Here the Braisa says, "Im mishumei nikar kashim." If it's still legible, if the remnant of the letters are still recognizable, then it's going to be kashim. Now clarifies the Gemara, hechadom in nikra, hechadom in iskareo. What's the case of nikra, that it's, if it was ripped, it's, that it's invalid? And what's the case of that it got torn, that it's going to be kashim? So Rabbi Yehuda explains nikra, when it says that if it was torn, it's invalid, it means a keresh al best. It means a type of tear that the courts would do when they find a document that should not be valid anymore. This kareya, when they said that it tore, is keresh ein shel bezin. If it tore, not through the court, so even though it's ripped, okay, but it got stuck in the door or whatever, so then as long as you can see what it is, it's still a valid document. So the Gemara explains, hechadom keresh al bezin, what is a tear that the courts do which show us that it's invalid, in contrast to if someone just by mistake ripped it, where it's still valid as long as he's holding on to the document. So Rabbi Yehuda says, when the courts tear a document, they tear it by makom edim, the place of where the witnesses sign, or makom azman, or where the date is, or makom atayif, or where the primary, there's two parts of a document, there's the taifis, which is the generic text, and then there's the tayif, which is the specific, unique to this case. They're going to tear in one of those places. If it's torn in one of those places, obviously the court tore it, and therefore that would make it invalid. Abayame gives a different interpretation, shasiv arv, if it was torn like a crisscross, then it's obviously, people tear it like that, and that's showing that it's invalid, and that's not going to be kosher. Now, the Gemara brings a story related to the one of the halachas of the Braisa, that Hanu Arvoy, there were these Arabs, the Asal of Pumbedisa, that came to Pumbedisa in Bavel. That they were tearing away people from their lands, and since they were very forceful people, they also forced the owners of those lands to give them the deeds, the documentations, so that they can't even contest at a later point in time because they don't have the deeds. Now, so the owners of the lands, before they got it stolen from, they heard these Arabs are coming, they came in front of Abaya to be proactive. Amrullah, they said to Abaya, look, you Abaya, you could check out our deeds. See what it says over there before it gets forced away from us by these Arabs. And let the master Abaya write another deed for us. And the purpose of that would be the imis neschad, because if the first one gets taken away, which very likely is going to happen, nektinon chad biyadim, we'll still have another one in our hands, and which is the second one that you can write for us. And at a later point in time, if the tides turn and we have the ability to go to the authorities and get our fields back, we'll contest those fields and we'll take it from those who boarded from the Arabs and we'll get it back because we'll show that we have a deed. But if not, if the only deed we have is taken away, we're going to lose all rights to this field. So Amalahu Abaye said to them, look, I'm sorry, but my Abaluchu, what can I do for you? The Amr of Safra said, which is brought later on in the Sugya, in Kaisin Shnei Shtaris al Sada Achas, you cannot write two deeds, two documentations on one field. Why not? Dilma, maybe this consumer, meaning you guys, the consumers who get the deed, maybe when he bought the field, he bought it with achrayis, which means say insurance, which if anything happens to it, let's say if an earlier creditor who can't get paid back from the seller says, okay, well, I had a lien on all your property, and your consumer who has this field right now, I take it away from, what's going to happen is that the creditor of the seller is going to come and take it away from this buyer. Okay. But then he, since he's insured, he's going to come, and Tarif, he's going to grab it away from a later lekech, someone who bought from the field since he had insurance. Anyone that bought after him, he had a lien on those fields. And what's going to happen is he has to give back his deed to that person that he grabbed away his field from so that he could prove to the seller that he got his field taken away from, that he could get compensated. Now, so that would usually work out because, okay, so what was taken from him, he gave that deed to that person, he takes that person's field, and then that person goes back to the seller and he gets compensated, or whatever it is, whatever he can do, maybe from a later lekech. But that will take care of it. The problem is, in this case, since he has a second deed, v'hadar tarif, he's going to then go ahead and grab it away from a different lekech through the second document, and he's going to say, claiming that, oh, it was now that they took away my field from me, and I'm going to go ahead and collect it from the lekuches, because look, you see, I still have my shtar mechira. If I had already taken from a later lekeach one time, they would have taken my deed. From the fact that I have a deed, obviously, it was just taken away from me right now, which is not true. Because if he has two deeds, he did it once, and he's going to wait a few months till people don't know about it, and he's going to do it again. So therefore, says Abai, I'm so sorry, but I can't do this idea for you. It sounds great, and I would love to help you, but you can't write two shtari mekach on one field. Now, havakotar dile, however, they were bothering him. They were pressing him. They were pushing him. They said, please, 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 you got to do this for us. We're going to lose our fields. It's going to be taken away by the Arabs. So Amalei Lasafri, so Abaye said to his scribe, look, he wanted to get them off his back. Zil kasavu, write for them a document, then erase it, then write hu ala mechik, write the actual text of the document on the erased part, the edav al anyar, and have the witnesses sign on the non-erased part, the puzzle, which as we learned in the previous daf, that's a puzzle shtar, but the people who are pressing Abaye are not going to pay attention to realize that it's puzzle, and he'll get them off his back because they'll stop bothering him, but then really it's not going to end up working for them, and if Abaye didn't do anything wrong by writing another shtar. Now, however, the problem is as follows. He said to Abaye, because he thought what Abaye was telling his scribe was, write a full-fledged document, then erase it, then write over the erased part, and then have the witnesses sign on the near, on the non-erased part on the bottom. Because of that, he asked Abaye the following question. But Vidilma, but maybe that since they're anyways going to have to write over it, maybe the scribes are not going to erase the first writing of the text so well. Because you're going to have to write over it anyway. So, okay, erase, but I'll just write over those words. The problem you run into is that it's going to be Rishumi Nikr. It's going to be Rishumi Nikr because what happens is, it could be they didn't erase it all the way, so the words are still a little bit legible. And so what is the holder of the documents going to do? They're going to erase the second writing. And therefore, it's going to remain only the first original writing. And since it's going to be the first original writing, it's still going to be a little bit legible. Rishumi of the first writing is going to be nikkur. It's going to be kosher. Because the first writing was not written on anything that was erased. They wrote, erased, wrote over. So they'll just erase the written over part, remain with the original one, and that'll be like the halacha of netashtesh of when it's a little bit smudged, because every time you learn the brayse, the nimchak on netashtesh, if it gets erased or it gets a little bit smudged, im rishumi nikur kosher. If it's still legible, it's going to be kosher. So you're saying it's puzzle because it's written ala mechik. The problem is, it might not be totally mechik. They actually might erase the second writing and be left with rishumi nikur, which is kosher. So then you will be writing two documents on one field. So Abaye said to him, no, Mika Mina Shtar Ma'alya, do you think when I said that it should be written and erased and then written over that, I meant to write a whole text of a document and then erase and then write over it? No, Aleph Beis, but Alma Kamin. I was just told, write some letters, just write some Aleph Beis, some just Nara Shavertu, and then whatever you wrote, then erase that, and therefore you're not going to run into any problems because the one that was originally written was just letters, so that's not going to be anything, even the Rishumi Nikr. And the second one, when it will be written, which is a full text, will be written ala mechik, and then we said since the Edom are written ala nyar, well that, as we learned in the previous daf, is going to be puzzle, and therefore there was no problem, which is regarding the halacha, the previous price, which, although nimchik and netatish and Rishumi Nikr is kosher, that would be only if you had a real words. Here he was talking about an aleph base.